minister and teach your word tonight. And God, we do fully expect for you to confirm it with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, let's get into this, and then we're just going to allow the Spirit of God to move in this place tonight. How many of you could use something from God?
Amen.
Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He said, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So, it's God's will for this earth to be like heaven. No, you have to ask yourself again, how is heaven? Does anybody ever, you know, there was a news segment tonight, is heaven real? Well, for us, that's just such a foolish question. It probably, you know, is so far-fetched out of our thinking that we sometimes have trouble with people thinking that there is no heaven. But think about heaven just a moment. What's going on in heaven right now? Well, heaven is where the throne room of God is. Heaven, you know, there's no sickness there. There's no disease there. There's no devil there. Are you with me? There's no poverty there. There is everything there is good. And we have that picture of that environment throughout the Word of God, but especially when we go back to the Garden of Eden, because in the Garden of Eden, that was a replica, if you will, of heaven, where God was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, just fellowshipping with God, and God meeting all of their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are y'all here? So Jesus came to demonstrate heaven in this earth. And so I'm still teaching you faith here, but I think we have to sometime come back and get a picture of what heaven is really like and understand that that's the will of God, that heaven, the atmosphere of heaven, be in this earth. And we have something to do with it. And the Garden of Eden is that picture to us of the atmosphere of heaven before man fell. And we've been through all those things. But when you're talking about heaven, you're talking about the kingdom of God. When you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're talking about where the king reigns, the domain of the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. You're talking about now a place that is eternal. You're talking about a place that we get born from above in this earth out of heaven. Are you here? That's why we are new creations. We are new creations that old things have passed away that didn't exist before. So, the eternal realm of God, and this is what I want to share with you here just a little bit before we get into some other things. The eternal realm is where the glory of God is. And I want to talk just a minute about the glory to bring us into these other things, because the glory of God is powerful. Now, we're still talking about taking limits off tonight. No more limits on God. We're talking about being set free tonight. How many know you need to be free in order to serve God? There is no bondage in heaven. There is no down days in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. There is no discouragement in heaven. Are you here? Okay, so we have to make sure anything tonight that has been annoying you, anything tonight that has been bugging you, anything tonight that is not supposed to be in you or on you is going to have to get off of you tonight. It's going to have to release you tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, I told you I need for you to raise your expectation up tonight and get yourself in that believing mode that nothing is impossible for your God. Now, let me show you again. Well, just put Philippians 4:19 one more time. I don't want to turn there because I got so many to go to. But I wanted you to make sure that you understand this riches in glory, because the glory has to do with the attributes of God. Let me just give you some things here, and then you can go back and dig in this later. A full manifestation of God and His attributes is the glory of God. The glory is something that God used in the creation of this earth. When you're talking about the glory, and it's not discussed too much, and I don't know why, but it's really interesting when you get into this aspect of the glory of God, because wherever the glory of God is where the presence of God is. And when you have the presence of God, then you have a supernatural environment or a divine intervention by the divine one who radiates that glory. That glory is the manifestation of the presence of God. Okay, now let's just see this, because I'm building your faith here as I go along in this also. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 15. Let's go there. I believe that the glory of God is the highest order of manifestation of God in the earth. The highest order of manifestation of God in this earth could be encapsulated, if you can use that word to frame it, in the glory of God, that manifestation of God. Now think about that, the manifestation of God, the presence of God. In verse 8, Revelation chapter 15, verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Say His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. In other words, this glory of God was a tangible manifestation of the presence of God. And as I was looking at this afternoon, I changed the scriptures on them because I don't know if you remember or not. Over in the book of Chronicles, well, just go ahead and put it up there, would you? The one I give you in Chronicles, because it talks about this presence of God being so heavy. It's in 2 Chronicles, what did I give you, chapter 5? 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Just turn there and look at this, because this is part of this glory of God, this presence of God. Remember where He meets all of your needs in this riches of glory? 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. They got it up there faster than I can turn to it, but it's in here, I know. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. I was going to use Genesis chapter 1 where God spoke into that glory, and that glory created the earth that was without form and void. But look at this, so you just come up to your remembrance here of what this glory, because it brings us into heaven's atmosphere. Okay? You can start there in verse 13. It says, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praising the Lord, saying, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now, what we desire is the house of the Lord to be filled with His glory. And put the next verse up there, because it says, so that the priest could not stand to minister for reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. So this glory aspect, when you get into it, is interesting, because it is the glory of God where God Himself manifests in the earth. And when you stop and you look at that and you see that God is speaking out of His glory, and the weight of that glory was so intense. It was such if you talk about a room full of smoke, it's like that smoke would weigh you down that you could not stand. Because a lot of times we say, we're in the presence of God. Listen, if we're in the presence of God, we'll be pressed to our knees by that presence, by the weight of that glory. And that glory will cause our mouth to stop and our ears to open, because God is about to manifest and God is doing something through His power. Amen. Now, we desire, if we're going to have miracles and we're going to have healings, because now we're talking about supernatural things again, are we not? Anything that we access from heaven is supernatural, or it is eternal. There is no sickness, there is no disease in heaven. So what we're bringing is the healing that God has provided into this realm, where it'll manifest in our bodies. Now, Matthew chapter 3. Jesus operated in this glory. Matthew chapter 3. Just turn over there. Get ready to roll here. We're going to look at some scripture. I'm going to build your faith. The heavens opened up to Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. They'll get it up there. All right, now look. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens, there it is, the heavens were open unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. Now, whenever the Bible talks about the windows of heaven being open, it's talking about having access to heaven's resources. Remember what we've been studying on Sunday morning? That Jesus always drew from heaven. He didn't use the natural resources of this earth. He got His resource from heaven. So when you're talking about an open heaven, remember the vision that Jacob had. We call it Jacob's ladder, where he saw the angels ascending and descending up into heaven. When you talk about an open heaven, you're talking about tapping in to not just the environment of heaven, but you're talking about tapping in to the resources that heaven has for you and I. That's why, and we won't look at it again, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You might just pop it up there so they can look at it as I say it, because that one's so ingrained in me. But I want to show you this part about the glory. He says, bring all the tithes in the store that there may be meat in my house, and prove to me now wherein saith the Lord of hosts, if I will what? See, now when you're talking about opening those windows of heaven. So that tells me something. If I want the windows of heaven open in my life, and I'm going to need those windows open if I'm going to draw from the resources of heaven. How many know you don't get something through a closed door? You don't get something through a closed window. Okay. You've got to see that there's something on the other side of that window that's worth being poured out into your life. If you don't see that there's something worth coming through those windows to you as the resources of the riches of His glory, then you probably won't be a tither. Don't shout me down now, because I'm teaching you a truth here. All right? Now, point is, when heaven is open, miracles take place. Why? Because the supernatural environment that we're creating. Now, Psalms 22, verse 3. Just put it up there right quick. I want us to focus a moment. How do we open the windows of heaven? Now, we just saw one way. Now, there's several ways, okay? So I'm not teaching on tithing tonight, but I just wanted to point that out to you. It talks about opening the windows of heaven. And the tithing connects us to the financial blessing of God. But there's other things that's going to come through the windows of heaven that you and I need to draw from in order to have all of our need met according to His riches and glory. Are you following me? Okay. So here's the other thing. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabit what? The praises of Israel. Or what we say is that when we praise the Lord, it causes Him to create a habitation in and around His praises. So another way that you and I open the windows of heaven is by praising God. I said the way that we open the window of heaven to receive access to heaven's resource is by our praise to God. All right. Now, let's go back over there, because when God comes in a room, now listen, whenever God's glory comes into a room, whatever is not of God will have to leave. Whatever is of God is from heaven. Whatever is not from God can't stay, because it's the entrance of His Word that brings light. And light always dispels darkness. So if we're going to have supernatural healings and miracles in this place tonight, and I believe that we are, we're going to have the presence of God. In order to get the presence of God, we're going to have to give God praises, because that opens the window for access. Now go back over to the book of Revelation. We'll come back here in just a minute. Are y'all with me? Okay. Let me read it. I just got to build your faith, because this is going to be something in this room tonight you're going to remember forever. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. If you got it, say amen. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and what? Glory and blessing. Now remember, whatever God is receiving, He is reciprocating in giving. If we give Him glory, He's going to reciprocate with glory, with power, and with strength. Somebody say amen. Understand, and I believe that we're living in these last days, and you go back and you see these things in the Old Testament that show us a picture of Christ in the New Testament. You see that when Moses struck that rock, anybody read that lately? When Moses struck that rock, the first time he hit the rock, he struck it. The second time, he spoke to it. He graduated from glory to glory. And see, that's where God wants us to get as a church, that we learn to speak the Word only. We don't pray for healing. We speak the Word of healing, and we receive it by faith. Okay, now I got to show you this, because there's something about speaking it, okay? When we come to a place where we learn to speak the Word only, I tell you what, you've come up a notch. You've come up a level in your walk with God when you learn that all you have to do is speak the Word. And when you speak the Word, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything that is not of God, when you get the presence of God through the praises of God, everything that's not of God has to leave. Psalms 114. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God tonight. Amen. Psalms 114. I, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from the people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel was his dominion. And the sea saw it, and it fled. Jordan was driven back. Remember, we talked about splitting the Red Sea. We talked about the Jordan River. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the what? The presence of the Lord and the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and flint into a fountain of waters. I'm just saying to you tonight and showing you through the scriptures that when we get into the praise of God, then that opens up the windows so that we can access the resources that are in heaven for you and I in this earth is our inheritance. How many could use some of your inheritance tonight? The presence of God always invokes and it provokes the supernatural. If you want to provoke the supernatural, then you need to learn to praise God. In fact, if you can't praise God, something's the matter with you. I said something is the matter with you if you cannot praise God, because you will never get in the presence of God until you learn to praise Him, because that's what He inhabits. Come on, are y'all with me? All right. So, praise, I'm just telling you, praise is just one way, okay? I mean, there's several here. The point is that we can't leave out praise. We have to have praise unto God so that it causes those windows to be open. Praise means that God takes over our battle. I'm not going to go to all the scriptures, but I'm building your faith. Praise is something that demonstrates your faith in God. Because you're going to have to believe something, remember, before you see it. A lot of people have trouble praising God until they're happy. I got news for you. You're going to stay sad a lot of your life. Because whatever you're dealing with, when you learn how to praise God and provoke the supernatural in your life, then whatever's ailing you, whatever is bothering you, it will have to leave. I said it'll have to leave. All right, now, go to Psalms 67. You're right there. Let's just go back a little bit here. Psalm 67. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Psalm 67 and verse 5. Now, there's probably some things tonight, if you're honest, could say are bugging you right now. There's probably some things tonight that are bothering you a little bit. Okay? Okay. We're going to get free tonight. I said, we're going to take the limits off tonight. You're going to be blessed that you came in here tonight and you didn't stay home. You're going to get your faith so high that everything that's wrong is going to be fixed or replaced in your life. Whatever the devil has taken, we're going to the enemy's camp. Good thing you sang that tonight. Amen. We're going to recover it all. Say, recover it all. Yeah. All right, 67 Psalms and verse 5 and 6. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield what? Her increase, and God, even our own God, shall what? Bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear or have reverence towards God. Now, I wanted to share those scriptures on the glory and how we open the windows of heaven, because you need that foundation. Because, let me tell you why. There's so many people that need a miracle. There's so many people that need healing in the body of Christ, but they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to receive it. They don't know how to get it, okay? So I'm teaching you how to get it. Heaven has resources, but they have to be released. Because the devil is trying to block your open heaven. He's trying to block the windows as they become open, block you from receiving what God has for you. Well, there's a way to release it. In Psalms 100, we'll just stay there a minute. Psalms 100. Come on. I said, come on. Okay. Make what kind of noise unto the Lord? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before His what? Presence with singing. Don't stand there, you know, like a bump on the log. I mean, let yourself loose. Let yourself go. Why? Because you are creating an atmosphere for the supernatural. You're creating an opening, the window of heaven, so you can draw from the resources of heaven. Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Now notice, this is demanding. This is part of surrendering, you know. Maybe we don't feel like praising. Maybe we've had a rough week. Maybe we've had a rough day. But see, faith has nothing to do with feelings. Because if we're back down in the realm of the feeling, then we're not in faith. We've learned that, right? The enemy wants to keep us squashed down in our feelings. And as long as we're squashed down in our feelings, we're not accessing heaven's resource, because we can't open the doors or the windows of heaven. We enter into His courts with what? Thanksgiving. This is what is called protocol. How many of you know what protocol is? If you've ever been in military, you understand protocol, because it is where the superior gives an order to the subordinate. In fact, in military, if you are a subordinate and you come up to an officer that is higher rank in you, you have to salute that person. And if you don't, and that's called honor, because you're honoring the position that that soldier or that officer carries above you. And if you don't salute, they will court-martial you. They'll throw you in the brig. They may even dishonorably discharge you. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that protocol is something that honors a position of authority. And if we don't honor that position of authority, because how many know that God is the highest ranking officer in the army of the Lord? And so He's giving us a command, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Protocol is nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with what's going on in my life, because I must worship God by faith. That means I can't go by what I feel. I just know that I am supposed to come and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Give God thanksgiving. Give God glory before I ever have a manifestation of how I feel. If God is telling you that is what you should do, and the devil is telling you that you shouldn't do it, who are you going to believe? I said, who are you going to believe? You see, if God tells us something to do, we show Him honor by doing it. There's another reason we tithe. We're showing Him respect because He has spoken out of His Word. And the Bible says, you know, there's just a lot of scripture on this, but if we esteem Him, He will esteem us. But if we don't, it says He'll lightly esteem us. Are you here? Okay. So, we have to understand, the first thing in opening up the windows of heaven is that we have to learn to be obedient, we have to learn to be praisers, and we have to honor the Lord as the one who created us. It is God who made us. Amen? We didn't make ourselves. Come on now. So I'm just saying that we give honor to God when we praise Him, and we are not, you know, all we're doing is looking to create the environment of heaven through our praise by opening the windows of heaven. What does that have to do with how we feel about it? What does that have to do with what's hurting in our body at the time? Are you here? Okay. Well, let's go look at some more here. Y'all are about to get this. The Bible says the people came to Jesus to hear and to be healed. Now, that's interesting. Why do you think they came to hear? Because that's the only way faith could come. Why do you think they come to be healed? Because they had things that they need to be healed of. Mark chapter 3. Do I have any life out here at all tonight? Okay. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Now I want to show you something here. No man, you found it? You found it? Okay, if you don't have it, look on the screen. No man can enter into a strong man's house. Now we're going to talk about strong man here just a moment, because in order for us to receive our healing, our deliverance, we're going to have to take care of a strong man. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Mark chapter 5. You have to understand how this strong man thing works, okay? Mark chapter 5. And when they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, say the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Talking about natural. You don't fight the devil from intellect. You don't fight the devil through natural means. Can somebody say amen to that? Okay. All right. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, the Bible, well, Jesus talked about that the enemy, when he came, would find no place in him. Just put something there. We'll have. I better show you this. Go to Mark chapter 14. No, John chapter 14. We'll come back and finish that in a minute, but I think I need to show you this. John chapter 14, verse 30, because it's interesting again when Jesus said, Satan will come, but he'll find nothing in me. Look at this. John 14. Verse 30, he said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, who's that? Okay, the devil, cometh and hath nothing in me. Now, what does that mean? Now, sometimes we sin willingly. Sometimes we sin ignorantly. Sometimes we just sin. Sometimes we get over into strife. Sometimes we allow the flesh to get us over into anger. Sometimes that'll even lead over into unforgiveness. Now, what you have to see is that when there is something that you allow Satan access into your life, then he has the legal right there to make his intervention. What Jesus was saying is that when Satan comes to me, He will have no legal right in me. That's what verse 30 is saying. He will have no legal right to have any access or any part of me. Now we have to turn this around because the first step, I call it a scar, a wound, a soul with a wound, because somebody has done us wrong. Somebody has cheated on us. Somebody maybe have abused us. Somebody, you know, cheated us. Or we've got over into, you know, something that allowed us to hold grudges or to harbor unforgiveness. Come on, am I talking to anybody? I'm talking about a scar. And when Satan, who comes around like a roaring lion, finds that hole in your soul, then you have give him legal access through that scar. Now, tonight, we're going to get rid of the scar so that we do not give him any legal access into our life, because he's going to come. He is. But he's not going to find any access into our life. Now, the first way and the primary way that we get rid of the scar, of the wound in our soul, is by repentance. Say repentance. We have to ask God to forgive us. You know that. And we have to confess. In fact, tonight is your freedom night. Tonight, we're going to make a confession. I want you to just close your eyes a minute. I want to lead you in a confession. You want to be free tonight? Say this with me. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, tonight, I release every person that has ever offended me, that has ever hurt me, that has ever bothered me in any way. That place, a scar on my soul that has caused me problems in my future, I release them now. I also confess that any area of my life that I have abused your word and have not acted in accordance to your will, everything that I have said, that I have done, I ask for forgiveness for every wrong deed in the name of Jesus. Now I receive freedom. I receive Jesus. Whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. And now I thank you, Lord, that I am free. There is no scar. I am completely free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now see, that's where the Bible's talking about the demonic tomb, where he was in a tomb, but he couldn't get free. If there's anything in you tonight that gives access to the enemy, you are going to be free from that. Let's look at this a little bit further. Got a little more time? Okay. Matthew, you got to get this so we can come to the place where we're going. Receive tonight. Matthew chapter 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Now, we can't take an offense. We take an offense, we're building a scar. But he answered and said, "Every plant," look at verse 13 closely, "every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." So anything that is in you tonight that is not of God, God plans to root it out of your life. anything that is in your life tonight that is not of God is going to be rooted out of your life tonight. Now, I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm not trying to point out deficiencies tonight. I'm just telling you tonight is your night of freedom. I'm just telling you tonight is we're taking the limits off from God and we're going to walk out of this place totally free, totally healed in Jesus' name. I don't have time for unbelief tonight. If you're in unbelief, you need to leave before we start receiving tonight what God has for us. Jesus asked him, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" Ask yourself, will I be made whole? Oh, yes, sir, Lord. I give you thanks, Lord. I'm going to walk out of here whole, healed, set free. No scar in my soul. Now, this idea of Jesus ministering and healing deliverance. Notice they come to hear and get healed. Hear and get delivered. Okay. Well, Matthew chapter 4. Oh, praise. Somebody say praise the Lord. Okay, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, teaching and preaching, come on, the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went out throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. He healed them. He healed them. He healed every one that came to him. It didn't matter what they were in. It didn't matter what was on them. He healed all of them that came to him. God is going to heal not just two or three of us tonight. He's going to heal everybody in here tonight. He's going to heal those that are watching us tonight, because I'm going to show them how to receive that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. If you got it, say amen. Okay. As they went out, verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Verse 34 says, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing, what? Every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice that he went about healing every sickness and every disease of the people. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same. Say the same. Now, we have to go after, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. We have to go after this strong man. I've got to show you this, okay? You got time? I've got to show you this, because a lot of times we're going after the little guys, but we need to go after the big guy. It's like the snake. You get the head of the snake off. It may wiggle a while down there, but sooner it's going to die. Strong man. Say strong man. All right. Just hold your place there. Man, I got you holding your place a bunch of places. Go back over with me to 1 Samuel 17. Now, let me show you this, okay? Because, what does the Bible say? Now, let me just kind of give you a little... This thing is fixing to go off, and I'm going to shut it off right now. I'm almost through, but just you need to hear what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Ephesians talks about our warfare not being with flesh and blood, right? And it talks about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's talking about rank and file. That the demonic culture, the demonic activity, demons have ranks and files. Now, the little guys, the little demons, get their orders from the big guys. Because there is a spiritual authority even in the ranks of the demons, and they are an organized group. They learned that. They learned spiritual authority through God. That's where Lucifer was. Well, now let me show you this right quick. Verse 8. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Now look at this. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants to serve us. Now notice the rank. I want you to read this to you because notice that Goliath here represents the strong man. He said, this is a principle. He said, if you get me, then we'll all succumb to you. If I get you, you will all succumb to me. He was speaking for the entire group. Are you here? Okay. So he represents the strong man. And not only did David come after him with the slingshot and the rock and hit him in the forehead and knock him dead with the rock, but what else did he do? What else did he do? Anybody ever read David and Goliath? Did you ever go to Sunday school? What did he do? He chopped off his head. I'm telling you, when you get to the strong man, you've got to take his head off. Because you take his head off, then all the little guys have to fall. Have to die. Have to leave the house. Okay? They don't die. They leave the house. They leave the temple. Sometimes you fail to receive because you're going after the little ones and you haven't got to the head guy. Boy, this just got all over me. I love this stuff. I tell you what, we're going after the big guy. I'm tired of the devil. I don't know about you. Now go over here with me quickly. Mark chapter 5 again. I've had you hold so many plates, I don't even know where we're at. Mark chapter 5. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that there's a head demon. Jesus deals with the strong man. The strong man is still pushing. He's still giving orders. Okay? It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? He worshiped him. We talked about that, I think, a week or so ago about bowing to Jesus. Okay? And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now these are military terms. Look what he said. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is... There you go. For we are what? Many. Now, when he was able to get the head, then the many had to get out. Jesus always went after the strong man. Now, I'm telling you, that's what you and I are going to have to do to be totally set free. Come on. All right. Now, Matthew 15. We'll try to wind this up here so we can do the rest of this. Matthew chapter 15. Didn't I have you go there a while ago? Or do y'all remember? Okay. This is where Jesus called the woman a dog. Now, let me just, she could have got offended. See, this is what happens. When the preacher gets to bearing down and start bearing truth, if your heart's not right, you'll get offended. And when you get offended, you shut access off to the windows of heaven. Don't get offended. She saw something here. She saw that if she did not allow herself to get offended, she was going to get what she came after. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. Okay, let's look at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, saying, with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed what? He healed them. He healed them. He healed them. The blind, the dumb, the lame, demons, maimed. What's maimed? What's maimed? Anybody know? Maimed is when something's missing. Something's been taken off of you. Something not working right in your body. Jesus come to heal it all. Now, how do you heal somebody with a missing kidney? You got to get another one. It has to be replaced. You have to access, because we're talking about supernatural now. See, how you going to heal somebody that's got a birth defect that's been crippled from their mother's womb? They're going to have a replacement. Say, he healed them all. And to heal them all, that means some of the parts had to be imported. Boy, all we need is an open heaven, folks. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I'm talking about taking all the limits off Matthew chapter 8. Turn back just quickly, so we can stand here and get into this. Say this with me. Say, healing belongs to me. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and I will heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But what? Here it is. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it. And he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not even in Israel. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believest, so be it done unto thee. I'm just telling you that healing belongs to you. Say it one more time. Healing belongs to me. It's something that has already been bought and it's already been paid for. That's why I tell you, you don't pray for it. It's the devil that makes you want to work for something that has already been given to you by God. It's the devil that wants you to apply some religious technique to receive what God has already done. We have to come back and we have to believe what the Word of God says. We don't work for it. We don't get righteous enough for it. We believe what God... Our job is to believe what God said and believe and receive it by faith in our life. Find out what closes the windows and find out what opens the windows, because if we can get the windows open, then we can access everything that heaven has to offer us. and God will meet our need according to His riches in glory. That's why blind eyes have to open. That's why deaf ears have to open. That's why teeth have to be filled in your mouth. Gums have to be healed. Organs have to be replaced that are damaged or defected through birth or through disease. Every sickness, every disease, every cancer, everything that ails you, everything that is wrong with you, it has to leave in Jesus' name. Receive through the open window of heaven.